We're going to get right into the word this morning, and so I am so honored and excited to be sharing the word with you this morning. We are in part two of a series called Work Your Weakness. It's like you can say it with a little bit of snap if you want, or a little bit of clap. You got to work that weakness. You know what I mean? We all have weaknesses, right? Every single one of us have weak points, weak places in our lives. And so the question is, why do we have them and what do we do with them? Because we get to look at them and we get to see how sometimes those weaknesses can be turned into strengths. Sometimes those weaknesses need to be dealt with, right? And sometimes those weaknesses need a lot of the mercy of God so that we can walk through maybe a storm in our life or something that we don't feel strong enough in. Whatever the case is, God has given us a blueprint and a plan as to how to work our weaknesses, what to do about them, how to look at them, what does God say about them, and honestly, how to filter them. You know, I watch a show sometimes with my husband, Grant, and it's called Bearing Sea Gold. There's a few of those out there on Discovery Channel, the Bearing Gold. And they go in and they get these mounds of dirt and they filter it through the sloshes and the sponges. And then they burn it until they get to the treasure within the dirt. And you know, our lives, and I think our weaknesses are like that. There is some gold in there. There is something to be gained even through those weaknesses. In Romans 12:2, God tells us in his word to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says, to be exact, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern or understand what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect, the good, acceptable, and perfect way, even through our humanity and our weakness. It's discovered through the transforming and the renewing of our mind. And again, this is for every single one of us. Overcoming weakness is challenging because it takes something that we all don't like, which is self-awareness or consciousness. Nobody really likes to stare at their weaknesses. Am I right? Nobody wakes up and goes, hey, I just want to look at what I'm struggling with today. Except one certain type of person. In the world, they're called scientists. In our lives, it's called people who want to overcome or get better. People who want to work their weaknesses. But it's not easy to live conscious of yourself, to take good look, to live with eyes wide open about those weaknesses. It's a struggle sometimes. Nobody enjoys it. That consciousness saying that I want to be aware of what's going on the outside, but I also want to be really aware of what's going on the inside. Acknowledging what's in my control and what's absolutely not in my control. The hard part sometimes, I think, is not recognizing what's out of my control, because I can wash my hands of that. The tough part for me, and if you're like me, which I think you are because you're human, is acknowledging what's in my control. Because that's the tough part. What do I have control over? What can I do about this weakness? What is good in my life? Or what needs to change that I can change? Acknowledging that there is weakness. It's not pretty. It's not pretty when we have to acknowledge that we have temptations to sin. It's not a pretty weakness we have in our humanity, right? It's not attractive to look at. It's not fun to talk about. But that's part of being conscious of our humanity. There is a weakness when it comes to our sickness and our pain that we face in life because we're human. It's not fun to have sickness and to have pain. But there's this part of it that we need to lean into it and be aware and conscious of how we are handling that weakness, even in our humanity and in our flesh. It's not fun to talk about mental weakness, mental toughness, and our lack of it sometimes. I am often confronted harshly with the awareness that I'm not as tough as I think I am. There's a moment where it seems like I'm mentally breaking down. Maybe I'm forgetting what's good and what's right, and I'm focusing on what's fearful and abnormal and what's weak and what isn't enough. That's not comfortable. But it's when I am able to lean into that and go, what is really going on, and be conscious and aware, only then do I get to ground zero. And you have to get to ground zero to start. Because if you start anywhere else, it's fruitless. You're just kind of working the fruit, and God's like, I'm trying to get to the root. So the first thing that we need to be aware of and to do when it comes to our weaknesses is very simple. We need to be aware of our weaknesses and be honest with ourselves and with God, so that maybe we can be like Paul when he says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and just like we sang in that song, so I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am not content with weakness. Therefore, I am content, even in my weaknesses, with insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities, for the sake of Christ. Listen to what he says. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That kind of revelation doesn't just come because you're aware of your weakness. That kind of revelation comes because you've been through the fire with your weakness. That's where that kind of revelation comes from. And that's the kind of revelation I want for you, and we want for you in your life. So Jesus gives us a playbook. He gives us a process. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, it's a letter to the church at Philippi from Paul, inspired, spoken by God. And in chapter 2, verse 4, it's a portion of scripture that I think is one of the most clear and poetic summations of the life of Christ and our commission as his followers. Many people believe that these scriptures in Philippians 2 are part actually of a poem that early Christians would have memorized right shortly after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And it's something that they would have recited, many theologians believe. And this scripture is part of that. In Philippians 2:4, it says this about Jesus: let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Many of the translations say, let this same attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, taking the form of weakness, being born in human likeness. He took on our weak form so that, it says, and he being found in human form, what did he do with his weakness? How did he handle it? How did he process it? How did he filter it? Well, he tells us here, he humbled himself. He became obedient. Obedient to death, even death on the cross. I see three things here that honestly can be marked and seen throughout scripture that we are to filter our weaknesses through. And the first one is humility. He humbled himself. He chose to lower himself, to endure with patience and without resentment his weaknesses. He endured them with patience, and he didn't get mad about it. I think that's where we get it wrong sometimes, right? We get so mad about our weaknesses. Like mad at ourselves, maybe mad at how the weakness got there in the first place, whether it be a wound or a pain or something from our past. We can get mad about the weaknesses. But he endured with patience and without resentment. He had an honest view of his human form and an empathetic, non-judgmental understanding towards humanity. It said that when he saw the crowds, that he would be moved with compassion. Not judgment. Moved with compassion. It said that he saw the crowd of people as sheep without a shepherd. And he's called himself that shepherd. Compassion. Honor. Non-judgmental honesty, looking at the weakness of humanity. It said that he became obedient. In other words, he did what was right in obedience to our Heavenly Father God. He filtered that weakness through obedience. And then the last thing is that he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. You see, we don't go to the cross, but we do process our weaknesses through the filter of the truth of the cross and what the cross means to our weaknesses. And if it be that our weakness leads to failure, what does the cross say about our weakness that led to failure? Well, it says that you can be redeemed. So we see through Jesus, these filters, when weakness and humanity are tested and tempted, even when Jesus, when he was in the desert and his humanity was tested, and it was said that he was tested in all different forms, he didn't respond with pride and call down angels to save him. He went with humility and he went with obedience. No, the word of God says, it is written, and he obeyed the word of God. Even on his walk to the cross, even at the cross itself, in the garden when he prayed, there was this honest look at his weakness. He even said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. What is that if not a weakness in his flesh crying out, please, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me? This honesty, this non-judgmental honesty towards himself and towards the humanity in others. But then this obedience, even to the point of death, when he cried out in those final words on the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Obedience. And now we get the cross for that last filter of going, what does the cross say about my weakness? What does Jesus' work say about me and my failure? So simply put, the filters for our weakness are humility, obedience, and the cross. So when we look at our weaknesses, we get to ask ourselves these questions. Have I processed what's going on in my life in humility? Have I looked at it in a non-judgmental way? Do I see it for what it is? Can I truly look at it? Another question we have to ask is, what does God say on this matter of weakness? What should my goal be in obedience to him? If it's a temptation, if it's a sickness, if it's a pain, if it's a past failure, what should my obedience be with and according with that weakness? The third question we have to ask ourselves is, do I have faith in the cross? The mercy is there. God's holding it out for you. But do you have faith in the cross? In other words, God's provision and power for your life. We can even see shadows of these principles that Jesus taught in the Old Testament. There's a prophet by the name of Micah in the Old Testament who wrote a book, and one of the scriptures that we read in Micah 6:8 says, he, God, has told you, O mortal, O human, O one who has weaknesses, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? He says to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. We see justice, obedience, that's the obedience. Do what is right. And if something is wrong, make it right. It's worth it to make things right, is it not? It takes a lot of work when something is mishandled or done wrong to make right. So if you have the choice today to do it wrong or right, do it right. You're saving yourself a lot of time and effort. But when you have the choice after something has been mishandled or neglected to make it right, it's also worth the time and the effort to make it right, to make things right. Obedience to God. To love kindness, other versions say to love mercy. Where in the world do we find mercy for our fellow men and our fellow women and ourselves if not in the mercy of God? Because that's the only place where it's endless. I have limits to my mercy. Can I get an amen? It runs out pretty quickly sometimes. But there is this endless supply through the cross. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Humility, that lowest state to begin from. I'm not saying you think of yourself as like just the dirt of the scum of the earth. I'm just saying be honest about our humanity. I have weaknesses. Don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought, right? These are the things I am facing. I'm going to face them head on. That's why you're facing them, so that you can look at them and stare at them straight in the eye and say, I see you, temptation. I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to keep you in check. You know what I mean? The first thing we filter our weakness through is with that humility. That ground zero state, a non-judgmental honesty toward our own weaknesses and those in others. You know, Jesus, in the kingdom of God, he talked about through parables and teachings when he walked the earth, how upside down the kingdom of God was. And he gave several examples and stories of how what the world saw as weakness in the kingdom of God, he saw as blessed. One of the strongest and most repetitive places that he walks through those things is in what we call the Beatitudes. And it is shown in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 10. And it's this point in scripture where Jesus has this large following of disciples who were listening to his teachings. And he led them up the side of a mountain. So they all were his climbing companions. They all went up the mountain. They all made some effort to follow him. And when they got to the mountainside and Jesus stood in front of them and began to teach them, he began with these words. And they're not called the Beatitudes in Scripture. That's something we, after Scripture was written, called them. But because as much as they are promises of blessings towards our weaknesses, they are checks for our attitude. For us to go, how am I looking at? How am I filtering that weakness? And so I'm going to read these, and I'm going to read them a little bit different. I'm going to say, keep a blessed and humble attitude when... and then because what God says, okay? In Matthew 5, 1 through 10, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, or keep a blessed attitude when you are poor in spirit, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. Keep a blessed attitude when you mourn, because you will be comforted. Keep a blessed attitude when you are meek. Meekness is unique because meekness is choosing to lower yourself when you have the power to do something else. For you will inherit the earth. Keep a blessed attitude when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Don't give out and get frustrated at yourself and God, for you will be filled. Keep a blessed attitude when you extend mercy towards others and don't get resentful, for you will receive mercy. Amen? Keep a blessed attitude when you are pure in heart, for you will see God. Keep a blessed attitude when you are a peacemaker, for you will be called the children of God. Keep a blessed attitude when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Come on, those are some good blessed attitudes, right? Those weaknesses that God flipped up on their head and he goes, I see them as blessed. Keep a blessed attitude even in the weak moments, the weak seasons. When Jesus cried out on the cross, he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? What was that if not his humanity crying out? Was that a bad attitude? No, that was humility. That was honesty. And it's okay to cry out. It's okay to be frustrated. But keep that humble attitude. And the next thing is keep your obedience to God. Filter your weaknesses through obedience. What is good? What is acceptable? What is right to our Heavenly Father? Romans 12, 1 through 13. I read part of it earlier. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, for which it is your spiritual worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you may discern what the will of God is. So that, why do we discern it if not to obey it, right? So that we can obey the will of God. What is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. And then that scripture goes on to list things and thoughts that are right to have, things that are right to do. He goes on, he says things like, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. That's right. Don't lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not repay evil for evil. Do what's noble. If it's possible, live peaceably with all. Don't be overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. Such good instruction to obey. But it's one thing to start there, but don't ever forget the transforming work that needs to happen in your mind. That state that comes, the only way that we find transformation for those weaknesses is through the word and prayer. There is just no substitute for those two things. There just is not, you can't replace them. The word and prayer. The word and prayer. Get the word in you who Jesus is. Read those gospels over and over again and pray. Present those weaknesses. Look at them, not by yourself, but with the Holy Spirit with you in prayer. Amen? The word and prayer. That's how we find the strength and the gold and the substance in those weaknesses. Examine it in prayer. God knows our frame, but he wants to strengthen you even in those weaknesses. And then the last filter here is filter your weakness with the cross. Filter your weaknesses through the mercy and faith in the cross. In Philippians 2, verses 8, it says that God humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And it goes on in verse 9, and it says, therefore God also highly exalted him, and he gave him, Jesus, the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's through the cross that we take our weaknesses, we take our failures, and we get a fresh start. Because it's at the cross that those weaknesses either die or they become strength in the presence of God. They become something that God can use. Just like scripture says that God will take what Satan meant for harm and he will use it for your good. That the good work God began in you, he will be faithful to complete even through the weaknesses and the failures that we face. In obedience to God, through humility with him, we take and we hear God through the word and prayer, and we find what our next step is in obedience. The world cannot give us this instruction, and it will tell us the opposite of to be humble. that'll tell us to be prideful, to hide, to not be honest, to just turn a blind eye to those weaknesses. But God says to look at him, to get to ground zero, to either find where he is present in those weaknesses, to find where he wants to strengthen you. Maybe he's with you through the storm. Maybe he strengthens you through the storm. But you can't find that in the world. You can't find it in your feelings. You can't find it anywhere else. Things that people see as weakness in this world on you will tell you the opposite of what God is telling you to do with that weakness. And try to fit you into something that God is telling you not to do with that weakness. You know, even in my own life, there's things that are weak in me and I don't like it and I don't like facing them. And I wish they weren't there. There's things actually part of my life that I appreciate. And yes, it makes it a challenge, but I work that weakness to the best of my ability. But listen, I cannot listen to the world according to what God is telling me to do. I can only hear that from God. There's some things that are in Scripture that are very clear and very deliberate, and I know exactly what God is saying. But there's other things that I have to hear by the Spirit, that I get to hear in prayer, and God can order my steps in His Word. Amen? You know, even the fact that I am a female, okay? Even the fact that I'm a female. Okay, some people, it's a weakness, okay? I'm a female. Please just don't hate me right now, but I'm just saying this. It's a real thing. But some people would say, hey, you don't need to lead. You don't need to preach. You just need to stay right there in the box that I think that you should be in. Other people, when they find out that I do most of the cleaning at home, that I cook every dinner, would be like, Monica, you don't need to do that. That is not the box you need to fit in. And I'm saying, I love you, sister. I love you, brother. I love you, whoever. But I'm getting my words. I'm getting my steps from the Lord. And this is how he tells me to live my life. Is that okay with you? Is that all right? Whatever the weakness is, and please, women, I am not calling my femininity a weakness. Please hear me. Don't send me emails after today. I'm just saying, whatever it is, we get our steps from God. I've been singing this gospel song for weeks now, and I don't know where it's coming from, but I think it's this message, and I think God has been working it in me as well, and how to deal with the fear of man, even in my life, and the fear of not having everyone's approval. God's working that out in me. It's something, it's a weakness I have. I don't like it, but I'm trying to stare at it in the face and go, okay, what can I find in here? Where's the gold in this, God? So I've been singing, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Only he can do that. Only he can process our weaknesses, but we've got to come to it with humility. We got to come to it with obedience to him. And we got to come to it with the filter of the cross. That's why we remember Jesus. That's why we remember the cross. Because we can't come up with the cross on our own, that mercy and that grace. We can't come up with the word on our own. But it's through the cross that we say, I'm filtering my sickness. God, what are you saying about me in the middle of this pain? When it hurts to wake up in the morning. God, what are you saying to me in the middle of this weakness where my mind is racing and I have this fear that I wake up with and go to sleep with? God, where is this? Where are you in this weakness? Or God, where are you in my shame? Because my weakness turned to failure only through the cross. And one of the ways that we remember Jesus in this way is through the act of communion. So you came on a good day today. We do this about once a month. We receive communion together. You don't have to be a member or anything like that. Our ushers are getting up. Our team is getting up because they heard the Q word there, communion. But this is why we take communion. We remember Jesus and we look at our weaknesses and then we remember Jesus. You know, we have this amazing ability as humans to be in a moment. And also to be, I mean, I'm talking to you right now, but I'm also listening to the words I'm saying. You understand? And I'm also at the same time listening to the Holy Spirit going, God, what are you saying? You know what I'm, you hear me? You know, there's this thing that happens during communion where we go, this is what I'm doing. And this is what I'm hearing. And this is how I see me overcoming. And we get to stand outside of ourselves and go, I see hope in the middle of this pain, hope in the middle of this weakness. We're about to take our elements together, but as they finish passing that out, we're going to worship God for a moment. But I want to pray for you before Chandler comes and he leads us in that moment. If you would close your eyes with me, unless you got the thing in front of you, I want to pray for you. Father, right now I pray that you would humble us. Lord God, that we would see ourselves with an honesty, our weaknesses in honesty. God, I pray that we would know your obedience in our life. God, that you would order our steps through your word in Jesus' name. And God, I pray right now as we receive communion in just a moment, God, that you would filter our weaknesses through the power, the purity, the fullness of the cross, and that we would see ourselves the way you see us, our weaknesses the way you see them, in Jesus' name.